Well, ask Mark just to put the first slide up for me. It's the first Sunday of Lent, and last Wednesday, of course, was Ash Wednesday. And our focus this Lenten period is upon the journey and the sacrifice that Jesus made on his way to the cross. And each year we join in with this journey. You know, we sort of journey with one another in faith, don't we? And this is this final journey of Jesus Christ. And he lived about 33 years, but 3 years of those was as a ministry. And he had been to Jerusalem quite a number of times. But this was the last journey that he was ever resolved to make to the city of Jerusalem. And the period of Lent from last Wednesday right up to Easter Sunday is actually 46 days altogether, but six of those days are Sundays, and we don't celebrate it on a Sunday because that's the day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that leaves us 40 days in this Lenten period to journey together and to think about things, maybe something you want to give up, or as I want to say this morning, something to put in this place. The number 40 is very significant in the whole Bible. Let me just mention a couple of them where Noah spent 40 days and 40 nights in the ark. And of course, the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, walking round and round until that first generation of unbelievers had all perished in the wilderness. And then they moved into the promised land. And of course, the 40 days that Jesus fasted in the wilderness. And then at the end of that, the devil came along to tempt him. And there's so many 40s in the Bible, and Lent is one of them as well in the Christian calendar. These were rather important journeys, or if you like, they were small journeys of part of the big journey. There's one big story in the Bible, and that's that big journey. And the passage before us is a crucial one, and one way or other, we take up our journey this Lenten period to follow Jesus as well. And we tend to, well, most people say they're going to fast something. And the typical thing is chocolate, isn't it? You know, say, I'm going to fast chocolate this. So I'm not saying that's not a big deal, okay? But there's some very good reasons not to eat so much chocolate all year round, actually. But it's not so much what we do without. It's what we put in this place. Because if we want to take something away, it's a negative. And we want to put something in this place, it's a positive. So I want to focus on the positive this morning. There's a negative and plus to everything, isn't there? You could argue and say, well, Jesus said to take up your cross. Maybe you could say that's a negative. You know, take up your cross, deny yourself, and what? And follow Jesus. There's a positive in it all. For every negative, there's always a positive. So let's look at the positive. So you might want to think of the positive that you're trying to offer this particular Lenten season. Rather than thinking of that thing you're going to deny yourself, you know, something you really like coffee or chocolate or whatever, McDonald's, I don't know. But you want to put something in its place. So on this journey that Jesus made, there were some positive, exemplary things that he showed us. And I just want to look at a couple of those before we come to communion. So for the next 40 days, let's try and think of one thing, even if it's just a little thing, and you're going to do without it, but you're going to put something positive in its place. So the first thing I want to talk about, really something that Jesus did, is he was determined, to be determined. And on this particular occasion, Jesus turned his attention to Jerusalem. That's what it says in this passage here. And here's the verse. Something that is a really powerful word in verse 51. As the time approached for him, for Jesus to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for the city of Jerusalem. And the word literally means to fix one's face upon. John, I'm looking at you right now. I have fixed my face upon you. I'm resolutely looking at John. Sorry, John. Did you ever play that game when you were a child, when you tried to stir somebody out? Did you ever play that? And, you know, the winner was the person who didn't blink or look away. Well, I want to think of it a bit like that, okay? I don't want to trivialize it. But when Jesus, he fixed his face toward Jerusalem, he wasn't even going to blink till he got there. You know, he was so determined. Jesus decided something that day that would carry a great emphasis of finality about it. He had fixed his destination. He had fixed his gaze, and nothing would distract him till he got to the city on Palm Sunday. Nothing. And I want to look at a few of these things that tried to distract him. He had total resolve. And the translation of this word means to decide and refuse to change your mind. So it's almost like he had these blinkers on. You know, blinkers. Nothing was going to distract him. There's a lot of distractions in this passage before reading and after the reading as well. So between this first Sunday of Lent and Good Friday, there would be many things that he would be tempted or influence him to change his destination. But here was sheer grit and determination. Here was his resolve. And he was determined to face Jerusalem and go in that direction. I don't know if like me, when you're driving along, I get up my phone and I turn up Google Maps, and they're actually quicker than ordinary car sat-navs these days. And say it puts a destination like somewhere in the city center. Google Maps, as you know, and others give it as well, they give it like three or four different options, but they say this is the quickest one, this is 3 minutes slower, this is 6 minutes slower, don't go that way, you know. But it's a bit like that. It didn't matter what route he was going to go. He was heading towards Jerusalem. This is the key thing about this chapter. It's the same in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8 as well. That's the watershed. That's the turning point in the whole gospel. And his destination was not going to change. And it was this sheer determination in verse 51 that got him into trouble. Just 2 verses later, in verse 53, here's the verse. But the people there were in Samaria. It was a Samaritan village. It was a Samaritan village he was going to. But the people there did not welcome him because, what was their reason they didn't welcome him? Because he had decided to go to Jerusalem. And everybody knew it. And hence in my NIV, the heading it says, Samaritan opposition. Because he said he's going to Jerusalem. And in the ESV, it says the Samaritan village rejects Jesus. And while Jesus loved the Samaritan village and the people in that, he loved the world so much more, a place where he was going to lay down his life for the whole world in Jerusalem. So that took priority. And isn't that what life is like? We've got all these important things in life, but there's something that's got to have the priority over everything else. There's something upon which we must fix our gaze above everything else. That's life, isn't it? There are many important things in life, but we must be governed by our greatest resolve. And so this Lenten period, I want to ask the question, what is your greatest resolve over the next 40 days? That's really what I'm trying to talk about this morning, briefly. And there were some obvious misunderstandings going on here. And, you know, one of the reasons for wars and battles and people falling in with us is just simple misunderstandings. And here's the first one here. You've got these Samaritan people in this little village, and they want of nothing to do with the other sort. You know who the other sort aren't you? You know who they are, don't you? You know, the people we feel uncomfortable with, the people we don't like, people that, you know, they speak different to us, they are different to me, they think a different way, they have a different color, whatever. They're different. We feel uncomfortable with them. We all know what that means to be in the company of the other sort. And to the Samaritans, the Jews were the other sort. Do you remember when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan? He says, the Jews have nothing to do with the Samaritans. Everybody knows that. And you've also got the disciples, their instant reaction to this when he said he's going to Jerusalem. And when they see that the people are rejecting their master, their rabbi, this is their instant reaction. Verse 54, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? Is that not a bit over the top? Call down fire from heaven and just zap the lot of them? We should all be worried about our instant reactions to things. You know, we read something in the newspaper or something in the news or somebody says something or make a comment about it and our instant reaction can go. But, you know, we've got to let it pass through our thought processes and especially our prayer as well. Because later on when we think it through and we pray about it, our reaction is different. So Jesus said after this, great idea, why didn't I think of that? Just obliterate the lot. They're against me. Don't need them anymore. Of course he didn't say that. He would never say that. So many misunderstandings. He just turned around and rebuked them. So many misunderstandings. And I wonder what action people today might have thought appropriate to something like that. Some people who are against Jesus, who reject him in our world today. How are we going to respond? Isn't it strange how we often apply the action of some other godly person to our situation and think it's justified? And on this particular occasion, if you were to read through 2 Kings verse chapter 1, you'd read what Elijah did. Well, these 50 people, soldiers came. He just called down the fire and just it came. And it obliterated a lot of them. So the enemy sent another 50 soldiers. Same thing happens to them. So James and John, I think, must be a great idea. Let us try it, Lord. That'll teach them. You know, sometimes we've got to think things through. And what was right for him is not right for me. That was a different time and a different age. And they did different things, different ways. We've got to work out what's right for us and for our culture and our time. We need to be determined, and secondly, we need to be focused. This was the moment that Jesus turns his face toward Jerusalem, to Calvary, to the cross, to the resurrection, and he wouldn't let anyone distract him. No one, nothing was going to distract him. On the very day the Samaritans rejected him, his disciples came up with one of their craziest, harebrained ideas ever. Let's zap them. And Jesus didn't want to be distracted. He just rebuked them and kept going toward Jerusalem. And there are other hints at misunderstandings here too. In verse 46 to 50, the disciples argue amongst themselves about who's the greatest. You know, I'm sure if a redactor came along, they'd want to take that passage out because it makes the disciples look so foolish. But I'm glad that it's in because it should be there. Just sometimes we do silly things. And sometimes we think the silliest of things. But when we read this over, we think, who's going to be the greatest, Lord? Can we sit on either side of you in your kingdom? So trivial and so childish and so immature. And I say the word childish instead of childlike because in this chapter as well, in verse 47, he takes a little child and makes the child stand in the midst of them saying, unless you, my disciples, my chosen 12, become like this little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That was radical. And that was true. See, we have to remember that in that Greco-Roman culture, I'll explain that in a moment, a child was nothing. If you want to get your Google search engine going sometime and just search in what was it like for a child living under the influence of the Greek culture, which lasted for like some 300 or 400 years. We all heard Alexander the Great, this great Greek classical language. You know, the New Testament was written in a Greek language. You know, the influence of Greek was tremendous. And then the Roman culture, the influence of the Roman Empire for hundreds of years. You know that in that situation, a child in the days of Jesus Christ, the child Jesus took in the midst and said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot get into the kingdom of heaven. Do you know that in his culture, a child was nothing? It was nothing. I read just one little story, but this, in the Greek culture, this little child aged 4 died from working in the mines. And the Roman, I wrote it down this morning, lest I forget. The Romans were not interested in, as the guy put it, child development. Jesus takes a child, you've got to become like a child, otherwise you're not even going to get into the kingdom of heaven. And for all we say about children being real rascals at times and hard work at other times, they are often, so often, the most innocent and sweetest and lovable creatures upon the earth, aren't they? Now, if you're a grandparent or even a parent, you'll know who Dougie is. And when Dougie, the cartoon, is on TV, and you've got your grandkids all lined up on the sofa with all their friends, I tell you, focused or what? Resolute or what? We got a picture of them last week. There was 4 or 5 of them on the sofa, and Dougie was on, and I'm trying to get their attention. Children are a joy and a delight. There is nothing you would not do for them as a parent or grandparent. And that, my friends, is the reason for this special journey that Jesus made to Jerusalem. Because every child, I could even say every person has an incredible potential if you are a potent force for good if your focus is right. And I believe if your focus is upon Jesus, you're a tremendous potential for good. And perhaps this Lent, this 40 days, you might want to focus on one positive little thing that in the end will make a big difference to your life and to the lives of others. 40 days of determined, positive focus. 40 days with your face fixed on that one thing. Which negative in your life right now would you like to try that on? Just think about it for a moment. Which negative would you like to turn around and make it a positive? Praise God. Jesus turns, does he not, our minus to plus.